security, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Hillel Pleasure's here. Hillel is back. Hillel is a member of our Brain Trust now for a long time. He is an attorney that specializes in asset protection, especially for people just like you and me, small business owners. You've heard me talk about this topic many times over the years before, folks, whether but just me and you or bringing in experts like Hillel and why it's important to make sure that you're paying attention to the intellectual property that you own. And it comes in a lot of different flavors, a lot of different forms. Hill is also the author of Financial Self-Defense, and he's our good friend. Hill, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. Yeah, you know, I've done a lot of programming over the years, over the 15 years we've been on the air on small business intellectual property. My first goal, Hill, was to get small business owners to first just actually acknowledge and accept and understand that they not only have intellectual property, but they're creating it, if not every day, if not every week, at least every year. What do you think?
I think you're 100% correct. And, you know, everybody comes to my office, you know, they always have so much more than what they originally think. And what I tell them is, before you can start protecting everything you have from everyone every time, the first thing you need to do is inventory your wealth. You know, and I give out an asset worksheet where they can put down every single possible thing that they own. And a lot of things that are important that they usually forget are the domain names, the telephone numbers,
right,
the intellectual property. And I simply ask the question, you know, let's say you lost your phone number today. Let's say you lost your domain. I mean, that's your entire business. So those intellectual property assets are just as important, if not more important, than the cash in the bank or the equipment in the parking lot.
Well, even though you can't convert it into, you can't take that to the grocery store, over time, that is the foundation of your business. And things like what you know about your customers. I mean, you could have acquired some perspectives on how customer profiles behave, what they like, what they want. You could acquire that kind of information that's invaluable to you and could also be invaluable to somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, just think if your competitor got your phone number. Just think if your competitor got your trade secrets on who your exact market is. I mean, knowledge is power these days.
I was telling the audience before you came here, when I was telling them that what we were going to talk about, that you know, most small business owners are not going to be patent holders. Many, you know, you very well may have a registered trademark, and I certainly encourage you to do that, and I encourage you to go for patents. But oftentimes, even people who have intellectual property that they think might be patentable, somebody like you, Hill, might say, you know what, I think you'd be better off to keep this as a trade secret. And beyond that, they have intellectual property that really are trade secrets, even though they don't really, may not really know it. Those are the things that I worry about small businesses the most, is not whether they miss a patent opportunity, but whether they don't value a trade secret.
Yeah, and I agree completely with you, and my rationale is that, you know, the guy who invented the chair, you know, his name isn't on every single chair. You know, he might have a patent or a trademark, but you make one slight difference in the way the wood is formed on the bottom, and all of a sudden you have a quote-unquote new product. So whether
right.
your patent, whether your trademark, yeah, that's all great, but the most important thing is you need to have your information locked up. You need to make sure that it's safe, not only from, you know, your competitors, but from your employees, because your employee today might be your competitor's employee tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, help the audience understand what your definition of a trade secret is.
You know, a trade secret to me is any knowledge or education that you've gained throughout the years regarding your business or your customer that, if gotten in the wrong hands, you know, i.e. your competitor, can be used not only against you, but to take business away from you.
Mm-hmm. Here's an example that I think would help. if you're a wholesaler and you're in the delivery business, you're delivering goods to customers, and over the years you've determined that a certain day, certain times of the day, certain times of the week, the traffic flows one way better than the other way, and you've arranged your delivery schedule to be more efficient and to be able to serve customers better because you've tracked the traffic patterns. And you know that, and maybe you've even written some of this down. That's a trade secret, isn't it?
Sure, and it can go as far as just when to advertise. You know, if you're doing TV commercials or radio commercials or print commercials, you know, is a Tuesday better than a Monday? Is a Saturday better than a Thursday? Are certain times of the day or certain stations better than others? So, again, any information could be considered a trade secret.
So how do we protect that from employees? Because see, we've got key employees in our business, in our wholesale business, for example, and we have to tell them we have to explain to them when they say, "Why, boss, why are we changing our delivery system?" You know, probably there's some key employees that we say, or maybe they're even the ones who said, "Hey, boss, I've noticed that the traffic is going a certain way on Tuesdays." Maybe they've contributed to this. How do we prevent them from wandering off with our stuff?
Well, first of all, it's got to start from the top. So that means it's got to start from before you even hire the candidate. You know, people can come look great in an interview and hand you a great resume, but who are they really? You know, and so many employers don't take the time, you know, to really do the proper background checks, call the references, and, you know, spend a good hour or two looking into the people they are going to hire. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that for every single person you interview, but certainly if you narrowed it down to one, two, or three candidates, you have to take the time to do that. And there's plenty of businesses out there that for a couple $100, you can hire them, and they will do a true comprehensive background check on the employees. So the first thing
that's a good idea to keep, to make sure you hire a good person. But the people who, I'm going to venture to say that the people who are more likely to steal your trade secrets are the ones who've been with you for a while, and for whatever reason they got poached by a competitor, or you the two of you had a falling out. What do you think?
I totally agree. But once you have those right people hired, you need to appoint people for different areas. You know, if all 10 of your employees know everything, well, then there's nobody to hold accountable. So you need to pick that one employee who might deal with it the most, and you need to make sure that they're the only ones who have the manual or the handbook with all the quote-unquote trade secrets.
They know all the ingredients of the special sauce.
Exactly. And that way, number one, is at least you know who to hold accountable as opposed to everybody pointing the finger. Because when everybody knows...
Now, that's a really good idea there, folks, is to make sure that you know who you can come back to if something gets out. When we come back after these messages, I'm going to get Hill to tell us how to set this up, how to structure this legally, where you can protect your stuff against potential employee leakage. And also, Hill has a special book offer that you're going to love. We're going to talk about it after this break. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. 23 after the hour. Thank you for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. And you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. Please check out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to take the poll question right there on the homepage. And the new video, we got a new video up too, so check that out. There at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hillel Presser is with us, folks. Hillel is back. He is an intellectual property attorney, asset protection attorney, and that's what his law firm specializes in. He's the author of Financial Self-Defense. Hill, give us your website and tell the audience about that special offer in the book. You've got a great deal for us.
Sure.
And actually a wonderful deal, a gift that I'd like for you to tell them about.
Sure. If any of your listeners go to our website at www.assetprotectionattorneys.com, that's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. If they fill out the contact us form on the lower left-hand side of the page, as long as they mention your show, I'm going to send them a complimentary copy of our latest best-selling book, Financial Self-Defense, How to Protect Everything You Own from Everyone Every Time.
So if all they got to do is say my name or Jim's show or that guy who talks about small business or something like that, right?
Yeah,
that weirdo on the radio every day talking about small business. If they use some kind of language like that, you'll send them the book free, including shipping, right?
That's correct. Autographed copies.
Folks, that's a heck of a deal. Yep. A heck of a deal. I mean, I don't know how many other people have offered you a deal like that today. So please check that out. If you own a small business, you should follow through on this. Asset Protection Attorneys.com?
Correct.
Okay, so check that out, folks. All right, here we're talking about how to protect our intellectual property in the case of employees, especially internally.
Sure.
And you know, one thing about people who are not inside the circle, you know, the key employees, you know, just regular employees who are not necessarily wouldn't be given access to the special sauce ingredients. Make sure that you don't talk about it when other people are listening. Lock it up. Don't leave it laying out where anybody can see it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, we talked about hiring the right people, and we talked about appointing one person. That way you can essentially always point the finger at one and only one person. But now what you really need to do is you need to put the right agreements in place. And, you know, you need to sit down with your employees, and you need to put in non-compete agreements, non-solicit agreements, confidentiality agreements. So once you have the right employee, and once you've figured out, you know, who you're going to hold accountable, now you need to put the right agreements in place so they can be held accountable.
Mm-hmm. And this would be, and so how far down the org chart should you have people do that?
Well, I mean, anybody should be signing these agreements. I mean, I don't care if it's a sweeper with your company or your highest level manager. I mean, everybody should be signing.
So if they have any access to the intellectual property, you should say the terms of your, now this is, and this, I think this is where, I think this is where you might want to do this early on in your relationship. The terms of your agreement are to understand that we produce intellectual property here that we consider to be our property, and you're going to be given access to that, or you may have access to it, and we expect that to stay as what is our property, not be given to somebody else. Therefore, part of the terms of your agreement of your employment is that you sign a non-compete, a confidentiality agreement.
Correct, and you hit the nail on the head. You know, it's got to be when they're hired. You know, not 6 months, not 6 years down the road, but terms of their employment. You know, I'm agreeing to give you a job. I'm agreeing to pay you X
right.
amount of salary. You're agreeing to hold
right.
all of our information in confidence and not use it to solicit or compete against us.
Mm-hmm. Now, maybe your downline employees, you might not get them to sign a non-compete, because it's kind of hard to get a receptionist. You know, if they're a receptionist, it's kind of hard to enforce a non-compete for something like that.
Yeah, and the goal isn't to make it hard on other people's lives.
But the confidentiality part, though, you should be able to get everybody to sign that.
Oh, 100%. And again, you know, the goal isn't to put undue burden on other people or to force other people from not eating if they don't work for you, but it's just to have some accountability. So certainly if you have a receptionist, I mean, she's free to work anywhere she wants. I mean, certainly you don't want to make it so she can't feed the kids and the family, but you just want to make sure that whatever she's learned at your practice, she keeps with her.
Well, the other thing that this does, just the fact that you're a great boss, you're basically got a happy culture in your company, but when they see that you have a stern look on your face when you talk to them about intellectual property and trade secrets and confidentiality agreements, that lets them know that you're dead serious about protecting your property. I think that's an important thing, too. What do you think?
100%. And, you know, you have to be balanced. I mean, you have to create a good work environment. And, you know, people really need to love what they do, and they need to love where they do it. And I really strive, at least at my firm, to do anything and everything I can to go above and beyond, you know, to give my employees the absolute best possible workplace. And when you do that, they want to work harder for you, and they don't want to betray you.
And if they, yeah, exactly. And I agree with that. If you have a good, back to my happy culture example, if you want to have employees who won't betray you, or will be less likely to betray you, I guess I should say, you know, make sure that they're happy where they are. Hill, give us that website again, please.
Sure. It's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. That's assetprotectionattorneys.com.
And if they go there and tell you that they heard about it on my show, they'll get your free book, Financial Self-Defense, folks, free, and shipping's free. So thank you for that, Hill. Appreciate you making that offer to my audience. We'll see you next time. Hill Presser, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Thanks for having us.
I'll be right back.